Welcome to the small batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Stephen Thompson. I'm a writer and editor with NPR Music, and I'm here in the studio with Glenn Weldon. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Stephen.
Now, Glenn, you've been around the NPR offices a lot more in the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time, it turns out, for you to function as one of our, I would say one of our lead Pokemon Go correspondents.
Yeah.
Not the only one.
No. NPR is really doing a full court press in this whole Pokemon Go thing. And if I have some small part in that, I'm very happy. I'm going to bring Pokemon Go to a quinoa level saturation here at NPR. I'm shooting for Tuvan throat singing. I will settle for quinoa.
You know, you gotta aim high. Mm. Now, you wrote a 3,000-word essay shortly after the app came out.
Mm-hmm.
You did an NPR Live discussion on Facebook.
Yep.
What am I forgetting?
I was on All Things Considered. So we should give the basics. And I love that we're doing this in a small batch, Stephen. So if people see it coming up in their feed, and they're one of the many people on the Facebook Live feed who said, really, NPR? Why are you doing this? There's actual news. Because there is actual news.
There is. I gather there is.
So Pokemon Go is a app for your phone that works with your smartphone's GPS technology.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're walking around your neighborhood, little Pokemon keep popping up, and you can capture them with a Pokeball by swiping your phone in a certain way. Some people use the index finger. I'm a thumb guy. And there are all these locations throughout your city in real-world locations where you can get more supplies or you can fight with other people at what are called Pokemon gyms. The important thing about this is that infrastructure has been around for a while.
Right.
In 2013, a game called Ingress came out. Which was a hard science fiction thing where you would go and basically do capture the flag at all these real world locations. Those players created these interaction spots for that game. And when Pokemon Go came along, they just kind of mapped their technology over that.
Right.
And instead of portals where you can hack with power-ups and force shields, what Pokemon Go added was a much more approachable, cute gladiators. Cuddlier gladiators who beat the snot out of each other.
Right.
So it made a game that was ostensibly hard science fiction for the casual gamer. And that's
right.
Why it's taking off, because you can go in as deep or as not deep as you want.
So Pokemon itself has been around for decades at this point. My kids are obsessed with various permutations of it. So the multi-generational appeal of this, I mean, there are people who are 30 now and grew up playing Pokemon, and there are also kids who are still obsessed with later iterations of it.
Yeah, but the kids who played it in the 90s or watched the cartoon in the 90s are now adults with cell phones. And the reason it's leeching into the culture in the way it is because it's middle-aged people who can do the thing that they wanted to do when they were kids. This is the genius of this particular game. It's reaching the casual gamer. It's also hitting the sweet spot of nostalgia in 20 to 30-year-olds in a huge way.
Who are not middle-aged. You referred to them as middle-aged.
All right. Well, maybe I was talking about me.
It's amazing the degree to which this thing seems to have penetrated. And it makes me wonder, A, how long it's going to last, and B, how long it's going to take humanity to find all of the ways to create mischief using this game.
Well, it's already started to happen. There have been reports about people using the lures, where you can make one of these Pokestops spawn more and more Pokemon in that area. I mean, basically,
lures for, like, muggings.
Lures for muggings or whatever.
Right.
It just makes a certain amount of sense that same basic human decency you would have in real life, you'd have in the game, right? So you wouldn't go necessarily wandering through a park in the middle of the night. You wouldn't necessarily... just you'd be aware of your surroundings. What's going to happen, though, I think, and I'm already starting to see it happen, and I'm only playing this game like a week, is that a sameness is emerging.
Mm-hmm.
And people who played Ingress talked about this same thing, that you keep capturing, in my case, Pidgeys and
Squirtles.
I live in a Squirtle-free zone.
Whoa, come over to my house. Squirtle was waiting on my front door.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. So I'm walking around my neighborhood, walking the dog, finding the same things over and over again, and that is getting a little bit tiresome. And the technology itself is basically putting a cartoon character in your camera, right? So it looks like the cartoon character is there. And the first time that happens, it's a miracle. You're like one of the 2001 apes with a monolith. After a week's time, you're like, okay, I get it. And the novelty wears off.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, they're going to keep adding more Pokemon.
Right.
They're going to keep adding new features like being able to trade, which was a huge thing in the actual video games.
Right.
They're going to be able to eventually battle other people one-on-one. Right now, there's a whole thing that happens at the gym, which isn't really battling people in real time. It's something else.
Right.
So there's a long ways for this to go, but there's also the novelty will start to wear off, and places like NPR are going to stop talking about it eventually.
But now, part of the idea here, right, is to get gamers out of their houses, mm-hmm. right? Like, get people to interact in the real world. I've noticed that, for example, the Pokestops are located in public places.
Yeah.
And I was driving down Georgia Avenue in D.C. My girlfriend was playing the game on her phone. She's already given up on it, by the way.
Yeah.
For one thing, it's hugely draining to the battery life.
Certainly is.
But she was like, oh my God, there's a it was either a Pokestop or a gym or something located. And she's like, what's the landmark? It's street art.
Yeah.
Like, there was a building that had been painted with this lovely mural, and like, clearly the game is encouraging people to go and see those places and to theoretically interact at those places.
So yeah, in a city like Washington, D.C., which is full of statues and monuments
right.
and public art,
right.
That's what you get most of the time. And there are certainly landmarks, but that's it. It's libraries, any kind of public
churches.
Buildings, churches in a big way.
Now, one of the downsides, of course, and one of the things I think about being in D.C. in particular, I got into my car this morning and started it, and the radio came on, and the first sentence I heard was, officials at Arlington National Cemetery are asking people to refrain from playing Pokemon Go. And I just kind of like turned the radio
yeah,
off,
yeah.
like, are you kidding me, people?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is also happening at the Holocaust
Museum.
Where because they've clearly created an algorithm that finds all the public places, they have not yet figured out which public places it would not necessarily be appropriate to play Pokemon Go.
Evidently, in the Holocaust Museum, there are several areas which are Pokestops. Now, that is because players of the game Ingress created them. Once you got to a certain level in Ingress, you could create what was not called a Pokestop in that game, but the equivalent of a Pokestop.
Right.
So it isn't an algorithm, actually. It's crowdsourced.
Okay.
And that means that there's people who don't necessarily think through their actions
no.
when they're creating these things.
But also opportunities for mischief.
Well, sure, absolutely. But there's always opportunities for mischief. I mean, this is getting people out of the house. And when you go out of your house, you're taking a risk.
Now, that is true in general. And that's why I try to avoid it under most circumstances. Now, we're in Washington, D.C., and not only does it have a million monuments, but it has crowds mm-hmm. to crowdsource.
Mm-hmm.
In smaller towns, is there less?
Yes, there's fewer gyms, but it depends on the town, of course. I was in the cabin that we have out in Virginia. There's nothing on the mountain where we are. Nothing.
Nothing. No Pokemon live there.
The occasional Pokemon kind of come, but
they stroll through
yes, exactly.
to feed.
But downtown in a town called Front Royal, the gazebo, the charming Gilmore Girls-esque gazebo downtown is a Pokestop. Right next to it, there's an old clock. There are two gyms right on top of each other. So yeah, it surprised me that they'd be there and that they would be fought over as vitriolically as they are, but they are.
All right. Now, my immediate reaction to this thing was just like, what's going to go wrong with it? And I don't want to be all, Pokemon Go threat or menace, about the whole thing. Like, one thing that has been really charming about it has been this flood of, I think, fairly hilarious memes.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, in the wild, if you superimpose cartoon characters, you're going to get screenshots of Pokemon in a variety of mm-hmm. non-Pokemon settings,
yep.
whether they be public events, political speeches, homemade porn.
Yeah.
So
funerals.
Funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate, but also at times funny. And so it's been fascinating to see it conquer the culture in that way, where just all of a sudden, half your Twitter feed is hilarious pictures of Pokemon.
Except, this technology, in 2016, we're going back to 1945 when Gene Kelly danced with Tom and Jerry. And so the photos you get sent are just basically Gene Kelly with Jerry the Mouse. It's like, we've come this far? This is what we're doing with this now?
This is it. This is peak humanity.
Yep.
All right. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday morning at npr.org/podcasts, through NPR One, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.